When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmar, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Hello and happy Tuesday, everybody. Thank you all so much for tuning in to the PHNX Coyotes podcast. Don't forget to hit that like button, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a five-star review. I'm Leah here with Craig and Danielle. PD will be joining us a little later in the show, but we are very pleased to be welcomed by a special guest today, Utah Jazz beat writer and KSL.com reporter Ryan Miller, not to be confused with USA goaltending legend Ryan Miller, but Ryan Miller, nonetheless, welcome to the show.
Yeah, how often does that happen?
I'm none ever, but I'm afraid that it's going to start happening pretty soon. So,
thank you for being here with us today, Ryan.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me on, guys.
I want to start with just going way back. Obviously, everyone knows the story at this point. The Coyotes have been sold and relocated to Salt Lake City. They will begin play next season. I want to go all the way back to the beginning. I heard Ryan Smith talking on 32 Thoughts earlier today. What was the impetus for bringing an NHL franchise to Salt Lake City in the first place?
I think you have to look at the history of Ryan Smith on that. Just this guy loves Utah. Like, you have a young, rich tech billionaire that is probably Utah's biggest champion. Now, there's some people that don't necessarily agree with his vision of Utah, but like, if you want to see him, it's like, okay, I love Utah. I love Utah. Like, every time you talk about, or he talks anywhere, it's just how great this state is. In fact, the fact is he had the money to buy a team. And so he wanted to buy a team. I think you can go back to two summers ago now. They announced that they joined forces with Actro Sports Partners. And that deal essentially brought a big portfolio of teams with them. And so, like, if you look at Actros, they have like six MLB teams, they three NHL teams now. Well, four now, I guess. And so that was kind of the start of like, look, we are very serious of wanting to get another franchise. And then, yeah, we've heard about the like him meeting with Gary Bettman and all that. And then essentially it was just him knocking down the door, keep sending texts and waiting for an opportunity. And that's really what's happened. It was a guy that was pretty dead set on getting a team and had the money to go out and do it.
So we want to ask you, and you know, Ryan's here to help us kind of paint a picture of Salt Lake City as an NHL market for all of us here in Arizona. And we watched the news conference on Friday, and there were political and religious leaders in attendance who also spoke. Are they in as lockstep as the news conference made it seem when it comes to building a new arena?
Well, the one big thing about that news conference that came out, like, that we didn't know is it appears that the new arena is not happening, or at least not yet. But when it comes to the lockstep on that, it's I think both parties are very interested and invested in Salt Lake City downtown, that proper, like the church's headquarters are all based there. Like if you go, like Temple Square is just a couple blocks away from the Delta Center. They own a mall called City Creek that's just a couple blocks again, right outside the Delta Center. So essentially they just want Salt Lake City to be a vibrant, exciting city. It's good for them. It's good for everyone. The interesting part in that news conference is it suddenly went from new arena to a renovation of the Delta Center.
Yes.
And honestly, I don't know what to think of that. I've talked to some Salt Lake City Council sources have told me that there is some worry that that might not happen, that this team itself might not end up in Salt Lake. So again, we'll see. Yeah, I know you guys have heard all of this wonderful stuff before, but again, like, do I think a solution will happen pretty easily? Yes. I don't think they'll have any issue either if it's renovating downtown, the downtown arena, and making the downtown very vibrant, or maybe they move further south. But regardless, an arena of some kind will be built, and I don't think it will be much of an issue.
Okay, we'll come back to that in a moment because I want to talk about Delta Center and all the things that Ryan Smith has said there. But when I talked to you initially, you painted a little bit different of a picture of Salt Lake City than the sort of glowing Chamber of Commerce approved reports that we've seen from national media thus far. What is your view? What is your portrayal of Salt Lake City? You know, we've heard it's a tech hub. We have heard it's a fast growing city. It's obviously a very young city. But, you know, all these glowing reports of the market, what's your own take on the market and its potential to host an NHL franchise?
So here's the thing with Salt Lake. Like, I know a lot of like cities and states are so centered around their major cities, like LA, New York, like Denver and Colorado. Like Utah is a little different in that world. Like when we talk about the tech hub, it really isn't that much a part of Salt Lake City. It's if you go 30 minutes south, that's where right. The big tech hub is. And like when you're talking about like the Silicon Slopes, like that Utah likes to shout out, that's all around, we call it the Point of the Mountain area, where and into Provo even. And so it's all a little further south than Salt Lake. And so it's like, it's interesting to hear Ryan when he talks about Utah. It's less about Salt Lake and more about that. It's about Utah. And so Salt Lake City in general, though, like I think I told you, it's like, you know, like everyone talks about how much it's changed in 20 years, and it has, sure, like any other city grows up, but like, it hasn't been like this influx of like big changes to me. Like the Olympics was the big catalyst of that 20 odd years ago, and you got better infrastructure everywhere and all that stuff. But now it's Utah as a whole. Like, and that's why I wouldn't be super shocked if the city council says, no, we're not going to fund this new renovation, that it's like, okay, cool, we're just going to move the arena south. Now, and that is, and honestly, it makes sense. It connects two of the biggest metro areas of Utah. It's closer to where Ryan is. He lives in Utah County. So is that a possibility? Sure. Like everything I've heard is like the preference is to stay in Salt Lake. We want to stay in Salt Lake, but should that not happen, we have other options. And so you can look at it like kind of holding the city council hostage a little bit, but we'll see how it goes. I think, but like as we go back, like the mayor, the governor, they're all in lockstep on this. They all want everything to be in Salt Lake. And so and that's probably why you're getting a little bit more of the easiness of the funding and how quickly those bills passed this legislative session. Utah, Salt Lake City as a whole, to go back to your question, is how it kind of always been to me. Like,
yeah, you said it hadn't changed in the last 20 years, the last time.
Yeah, some people would disagree with that. I like, yes, we got a new mall, but it just kind of replaced the old mall. So to me, it hasn't changed that drastically. Now, Utah as a whole, completely different. Like these tech hubs that we're talking about, like they were farmland 15 years ago. Like it has completely blown up in that area of the state. And honestly, like, and Ryan was talking about, it's easier to go out there and build an arena in open land. Like that might be the goal, because like if we're like they again, this is, you know, insider knowledge of Utah, but there was an old state prison land that was connected these two hubs that eventually it was just nothing around it when the prison was built. Eventually everyone came around it. They've replaced that prison. Now you just have a bunch of land that they're trying to figure out what to do with.
Okay.
That has been talked about for a new arena. I know they broached that subject last summer with that group. But again, not like last I heard that those have kind of died because, again, the Salt Lake City plan kind of came to be. And I think, again, regardless of everything, that is the preference. But there are other options on the table.
Let me stay with this for just a minute. When talking about all these different bodies, political or religious, being in lockstep, why is that the case? Because we sit here in Phoenix and we don't have anything like that. There is no appetite for public funding of NHL arenas or any sort of arenas or stadiums. In fact, it's hard to get people to agree on anything in this market. Why is that the case there?
I'd be very curious if this ever went to a vote, what the vote actually would be. The fact is, like, it's not. Like, this bill was just approved by our state legislature, and that was it. And like, if you go and read KSL.com is kind of the comment section hub of Utah. If you read any of the comment sections from any of the hockey stuff, like, we're talking, doesn't even have to do with anything but just the players, it's just like, taxpayers shouldn't be paying for this. They didn't get a say, essentially. And so, yes, you it's a representative government, we all know that, but I would be curious to know what the voting is. But again, what the actual legislature, they're fine with it. They've convinced themselves that this is the best for the city, that it's good for the city, that even though all the economic studies in the world say that it's bad and it doesn't mean like cities shouldn't invest in this, they think it is. So that's kind of how it is. And at this point, like, I think most fans are like, well, it's happening, or most likely is happening. Might as well enjoy the hockey team. So like, cause you don't really have another option at this point.
Our live chat right now is like, where have we heard all this before? I'm sitting here. I've never been to Salt Lake City. I've never been to Utah. Somehow I'm getting a better picture of it. And I think a lot of people misunderstand even the Phoenix area, because there's the East Valley, the West Valley, Phoenix, yeah. And, you know, people don't really understand. So when you talk about Salt Lake City as a market, I don't want to misunderstand that it could just not just be the city center, but the surrounding areas. But we want to ask about market size, because when you look at the U.S. markets in the NHL, Salt Lake City will become the 24th out of 25. Buffalo is the bigger only than Buffalo, and Buffalo is right there on the Canadian border, and then it'll be 30th of 32 of the total NHL teams. So what are your thoughts on Salt Lake City as a market size in the National Hockey League?
You know, the one thing I'm not concerned about is Utah fans showing up. Like, they are one of those fan bases that it doesn't matter what it is, if like they can be a part of the national scene, they're in. Like, and so I don't know what, like, even like the Jazz, if you go look at their like recent ratings, they're up there with like local ratings are up there with the best of the teams. Like, yeah, their national ratings aren't going to be great. You're right. Atlanta people and Florida people and Arizona people, they don't care what the Jazz do. But Utah has a oddly proud center of like, we are from Utah, we want to show out. And that's like, and so, no, I do think that every game will be sold out for the foreseeable future. It's just how it is. People will latch onto this team. You look at like Utah football hasn't had, they've had a sellout streak of 14 some odd years at this point. The Jazz have a 300 game sellout streak. Real Salt Lake sells out regularly. BYU fills up a 64,000 seat stadium. Like it doesn't really matter. Like, yes, the size of the market's not very big, but the people here care enough about athletics or just being part of something about that's Utah. And that's why, like, Ryan was very clear on like, no, this team isn't going to be Salt Lake, it's Utah. And so everyone can be like, we're proud of this now. And the fact is, I actually love that about this state and love that about the fans, because it is, they can just latch on to anything and be like, woo, this is our team now. Let's ready, set, go. We don't need to be like anything else besides just be included, and they're in. So I'm not really worried about that at all. I travel with the Jazz. Like, I've been to the small market teams that are bad, and yeah, like, you can clearly see, like, man, you need to be good to fill this arena up. Like, it's weird. It's odd that the Jazz have been awful for the last 2 years. And like, especially the last 2 months of this season, they were just unwatchable to a certain point and still selling out every game. Like, yeah, there's probably a little fudging of those numbers, but like, we're talking a couple hundred fudging, not like 4,000 or 5,000. So the fan base is here for anything. Like, it doesn't like, and so like when you talk about like, is it a hockey town or not? I don't think so at all, but I think it is a sports town and it's ready to embrace anything.
Just on that note, you know, you spoke about the fans and obviously you cover the Jazz, but you know, we look at a market like Winnipeg in the NHL where there are a lot of passionate fans, but not necessarily the corporate base. And obviously we've talked a lot about tech here already, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure what the situation with the Jazz is as far as the market size for, you know, corporate base. Do you think that's there?
That's the one interesting thing. I think baseball will probably fall, like have a little harder time with that, just with the amount of games they would have to fill. I do think the corporate base now is, especially like the first year, obviously you get the honeymoon era where it'll be easy. Everyone will be signing up for corporate sponsorships and whatnot. And like the Jazz don't struggle with that at all. And so I would assume it's kind of the same because again, there's new tech groups are coming up. We have like the whole dirty soda craze that everyone loves and they're always jumping in the crumble cookies. Like, and so I don't think that will be an issue, but like that is we'll see. That's one of those, like, it's a we'll see things, but, and there's nothing that I've seen to suggest that they'll have issues with corporate stuff.
Okay. Ryan, what is the state of youth hockey in Utah when it comes to participation numbers, ice sheets available to play on, and then level of play?
Not a lot of ice sheets. Outside of that, I don't really know a lot. I know there's a few hockey club high school teams. The state doesn't sanction the sport. I know some colleges have those club teams as well. Like University of Utah, I actually think is decent, but that is just like, honestly, I have no idea, but like the youth programs, I think if you look at what's happened with the Jazz, they have now the biggest junior Jazz program in this, like the junior NBA program in the nation, covering like four different states. Like, I think it's just a natural thing that will grow, but yeah, currently no, there's a very limited presence. There's a few ice rinks scattered around every once in a while, but like the funny thing is you do have some like nice stuff because again, we had the Olympics 20 years ago and the Utah was very like careful to keep those like facilities active and updated. And so like there are a few that are actually pretty nice scattered throughout Utah County and Salt Lake County that people are doing participation on. And so I think you'll just see it grow. Once you have a team like this, it's everyone will get excited. Everyone will figure out the rules and, oh, I want to do that. I want to do this. And so I think that'll just be a natural growth. But yeah, they're not starting from a high point on the youth hockey scene right now.
I want to talk about the Delta Center a little bit more, you know, especially for, excuse me, Coyotes fans. And I think Gary Bettman even joked in the press conference, like, we don't want any more arena issues. That's where we came from. Well, Delta Center is not necessarily built for hockey. There's obstructed views. So how equipped is it to handle hockey? And what are the plans for adding in seats? And how is that all going to work?
Yeah, to be frank, it's a kind of a trash hockey arena. like it's pretty, it's gorgeous. Like I'm sure you've seen the photos.
Thank you for the unvarnished truth here.
you have seen the photos from Friday's thing where it's like, yep, goal side, lower bowl seats are just completely gone. And honestly, they try, like during the Frozen Fury, the LA Kings exhibition they try to put on every year, they try to keep like a few of the top ones up. And that's where most of the issues come. Like all the pictures are like, look at this. We can see half the rink. This is fantastic. And we paid, I don't know, $80 for these lower bowl seats. Like, and so to me, you almost have to eliminate those. Like, I know the plan is like 12,000 unobstructed and 16,000 total. It's like, are you really asking 4,000 people to come and see half the ice? Like that's to me is silly, but I get it. Like maybe you just want to be part of the atmosphere and maybe they're cheap. I don't know. But I know that's what kind of shocked us during the press conference when they're like, oh my gosh, we are actually just going to renovate this. I am not an engineer by any means, but to me it was like the only way to do that is to blow this thing up. Like, because the Delta Center is, to me, a very special arena because it is just completely poured concrete for like most of the base. And so that's why it's loud. Jazz fans, you're great, but it's loud because it's a funnel of sound through concrete. And so you would have to eliminate that essentially to build this out. Now they're talking about like new technology that they are going to be able to keep the cool basketball feeling. Cause like you talk to anyone, like the Delta Center is crazy because the fans literally are on top of you. And it's
It's
not a hockey arena because so they can just build it that way. Like you can tell immediately when you walk into a basketball arena that also serves as a hockey arena, you're like, yep, everything is spread out. Like, the atmosphere is just not as good. It's not as fun. The sight lines aren't as good for basketball. And so we'll see what this new technology is. But it won't be for a minute. I know that this summer won't be anything major. I've been told that they're just planning on putting like the making an NHL locker room. And that's essentially it. Like, we might see a few added seats, I guess, but I don't think you'll see any major renovations starting until next summer. At least that's what the message is right now. And so you're looking at least 1 year, probably 2 years of this just being a substandard NHL arena. Now, it feels nice. Like, don't get me wrong. Yes, it's old. It's a 30-year-old arena at this point, but it just got renovated like 7 years ago, and they did it was an extensive renovation. It feels new. And I think that's kind of I think taxpayers enjoyed hearing that because it's like, yes, they just renovated the arena for $200 million. Now we're building a new one. Like, what are we doing here? Yeah. And so I think it actually works better in this if they can pull that off. That we'll see. Like, they haven't showed us the plans yet. Maybe we'll see them this week. They're doing like a meet and greet with the team tomorrow, and so maybe that'll be unveiled a little bit or in the future. I don't know, but they are confident that everything will be fine. And they said 17,000 plus when it all is done, unobstructed views, and I think that'll be fine. I don't really know hockey. The capacities of other arenas, but that seems fine to me. But yeah, we'll see. But I know he's like, oh, I don't want any more arena drama. And I'm like, I just like chuckled at myself. I'm like, well, like, this isn't really a ready, set, go situation. But to be fair, like, I get it where they're coming from, because it's like the one thing that, like, as I talked about the NHL locker room, like, Ryan Smith is a player's owner. Like 100%. And so, like, he will have something very glamorous ready for them come the season. And so I think for like the NHLPA, that's probably part of like the selling point of this, is because it's like, okay, like, you're no longer yes, the sight lines are weird, and the goal side might be a little strange, and it won't feel like a true NHL arena at times, but like, you'll walk in the back room for your intermission and you'll have a beautiful locker room and you'll have all the amenities that you're expecting as a pro player. And I think that probably is more or less the selling point before. And so it's like, okay. And it gives them time to figure it out. And like, I don't know, maybe this awesome new technology that they are talking about will actually work great. And everything will be great in 2 years, but we'll see.
You mentioned the locker room, but what about training facilities and stuff like that?
Yeah, I've tried to get some information on this. All I've really been told is that they're 100% confident they'll be ready for the players. I think Ryan alluded to it yesterday on the Pat McAfee show that they'll just have like a temporary training facility for this year and then build one up in coming this calendar season. And so, like, yeah, we'll see. But like, the Jazz facility, like, he didn't necessarily build that, but he's upgraded it since he's gotten there, and it's like, like, it's nice. It really is nice. They've got like personal chefs at all hours of the day. Like, and that's how he's going to run it. Like, if there's one thing that I think the NHL was really sold on, is that it's like, this guy is going to give these players a professional experience up the wazoo. And it's like, and so they're kind of willing to look over some of the things that aren't perfectly set in stone right now.
Yeah, and it's going to be night and day from what they're coming from here.
Yeah, and I know I talked about it. Like, I was like, because I was in Phoenix, Arizona for that final game. And like I do think the actual Mullet Arena experience is probably going to be cooler, like, to play. Maybe not. I don't know how it feels to play in a bigger stadium or not. But like I do like the intimacy of that. And it's like just a fun, energetic place that looks like a made for hockey. Yeah. Now, you walked into the back room, though, is what kind of my first time I was like, okay, I kind of understand where this is coming from.
Right.
Because like, yeah, it's going to be night and day for him.
Let's talk about the new arena. And I'm not even sure we can ask you about a timeline now, but play that out for us. I mean, we know the timeline for the Olympics. Is it assumed that it will at least be here for then? Could it take all of that time to get it online?
So here, this is kind of, this is me reading between the lines a little bit on a few things. One, option A is to renovate the Delta Center. So no new arena will be involved in that. Now, that will happen. We'll know if that will happen this summer, because that's when the Salt Lake City Council will vote on this renovation area or whatever they're trying to call it. And so if that comes in and says, OK, you have the funds, they'll just renovate the Delta Center. Now, if the Salt Lake City Council says, no, we are not going to give you the money for this, then we kind of fall back to square one, because that whole bill that they passed in legislature kind of gets nulled at that point. And so at that point, I think we'll be seeing them talking about building a new arena south of Salt Lake City near the Draper Point of the Mountain area. But let's say everything works out, which it probably will, because again, everyone's kind of in lockstep on this, and it's like, this is good for the city. I know a few people have their hesitations, but for the most part, I kind of have the feeling that it'll pass with these. So if that happens, they'll start renovations, major renovations next summer. They'll do the kind of the team renovations this summer, get the locker room, all that ready. Then next summer, they'll start renovations. And then I think one more summer to finish it, and then it'll be done. That is kind of the picture I've been painted.
And that could be it then. This could be the arena, and there's no new arena.
Yeah, that's the arena. Wow. Yeah, if they do the renovation, it's just, this is done. This is our arena. And like, honestly, I like that, because like, everyone gets so romantic over like, I don't know, like Fenway Park and Wrigley Field, because they're old. Like, I don't know why we're always so keen to like, woo, let's tear down stuff and make it new again. And it's usually not as better. So again, like, they just did a renovation of it. It's a good arena. I've been to every NBA arena but two. It's definitely in my top 10 of viewing experiences and just game experiences. So I think it's fine.
Was this project then tied in any way to the Olympics? I mean,
I think it's a selling point for sure. Like it makes it easier for you to go to the legislature and be like, and you can use this for the Olympics. And because I don't think, because they, for if you look at what happened in 2002, they used the Maverick Center, which is like this 10,000 seat hockey arena that they just built specifically to host that for the Olympics. I don't think there's been a renovation or update done since that moment. So it's old, it's dated. Like, it's still fun. The Utah Grizzlies of the ECHL play there. It's fun to go watch them, but you can tell it's like, this is old. This is very, very old. So I think they don't want to use that again. And so I think, yeah, it's probably a selling point where they can be like, and we're dealing with the Olympic issue if that happens. But honestly, you throw that out, I don't think much changes. I think all the stadium stuff is still the same. It's getting pushed through the legislature just as quick. Because, again, we talked about Utah loving sports. Like, they like sports. And so they saw it as a chance that if this is a way to get the NHL here, like, let's ready, set, go. Let's do it.
Let's talk about Ryan Smith a little bit more. For most Arizona hockey people or Arizonans like myself, I didn't know much about Ryan Smith until this last week. So as somebody who covers the Utah Jazz, and I'm sure has been around that for a while, what can you tell us about Ryan Smith?
Yeah, he's a guy that goes out and does stuff. I'll give him that. Like, and honestly, I have a little bit, because like the tech culture here, just kind of a little bit of a backstory. During the pandemic, I got slid over to covering the tech world, which was like fish out of the water moment for me, like crazy. But like, I learned a lot about like funding rounds, which all anyone talked about was like funding rounds. We got 150 million funding round. And essentially you're just selling off your company to get more money to grow and build and whatever. But he didn't really do that, to be fair. And like, so he kind of built Qualtrics up from the ground up until like 10 to 12 years after it truly started. And that's when the influx of cash really started. And so like, I have a little bit of more respect for that than I do with some of these other guys, where it's like, have an idea 3 months later, have a $300 million funding round. like, nope. Don't really okay. do anything to earn that to me. But again, this is fish out of the really understood it then. I don't understand it now. But he is a doer. He's one of those guys that, like, this is the perfect situation. He decided, I want a hockey team. I'm going to go ask for a hockey team. And honestly, like, it almost came together so shockingly fast for that reason. Cause, like, there's been rich people who want teams before, right? Like, is it just as simple as I have to go ask and annoy this guy enough to get one? I don't know. That's what it seemed like this was the case. But yeah, he's a builder. He's a very team oriented person. So, like, player oriented, he will definitely give these guys anything they want. Like they will be probably staying in the nicest hotels at this point. And he's just one of those guys. And and he's just a champion of Utah. And I've alluded to this, that, like, some people don't necessarily agree with his vision of Utah. Like I think some people miss the kind of the small town feel that most of the state around along the I-15 corridor had before this tech industry kind of blew everything up. I know people miss the home prices, and I know people miss how cheap things were and all that. But, like, the fact is, he had a vision, and he's still fulfilling that vision. And that's, like, so you gotta give the guy credit for that. And the one thing I, as a Utah person, I like how he is a champion of the state. Like, again, I don't necessarily agree with everything that he wants to do, but it's like, it's nice to have someone who's just like a billionaire from the place that just is like, I want this place to be seen as awesome because I think it's awesome. And I think more places would do better to have those individuals in their states. Like, again, there's problems there. Like, I think the taxpayers should be spending $1 billion on a stadium? No, I don't. But, like, at least he's trying to build up something. So I kind of give him the benefit of the doubt on that. And honestly, most every Jazz player I've ever talked to loves the guy. So you kind of have to say, you know what? He does right by the people that he's at least over. So
is he as well funded as we've been led to believe? And also, you know, he's an NBA owner right now. The NBA makes more TV money than the NHL does. Will that be an issue for him?
I know, like, the Jazz, I know he did have a lot of partners, and I don't even think, like, there was I'm spacing the name, which is awful, but like, there was a few people in Australia that really were, like, kind of the money behind that, I believe. But I've heard kind of conflicting things of, like, no, he's not that rich, or yes, he's that rich. And so he's never opened up his books to me, so I do not know without a sure doubt on that. But he's got money, and he's got partners. Like, the Actros partnership is great for, like, they have so much stuff in sports that they're willing to go. He's David Blitzer with the Real Salt Lake, and so yeah, he's got connections and also money. Like, he sold his company twice at this point, and a lot of stock involved in that as well. So, like, you could kind of, like, draw the line, be like, yeah, like, even if those transactions alone puts him in the multi-billion-dollar range. And so, yeah, I think he's got quite a bit of money.
I wanted to ask you this. Like, we watched the news conference, and there was obviously a stark contrast between the one here and the one there. There was a lot of positivity. Again, this is what you would expect from an introductory news conference. There's a lot of gloss, a lot of hype, a lot of positivity, and yeah, you'll get down to the brass tacks later and find out the truth behind maybe some of the hype. But one thing that I got to say, I was surprised a little bit. Nowhere in Ryan and Ashley Smith's remarks did they specifically address Coyotes fans and express any sympathy about Arizona losing a franchise. It felt like the adjacent person at a will reading, getting, oh, you got the country house. Hey, I'm really excited for what I can do with this country house. And there was never sorry for your loss.
Yeah, I think it was they clearly, and the league did this as well. I think it was very clear to paint that picture of, like, no, this is a new franchise, like, completely new franchise. You're not even involved with the Coyotes transaction. And so I think they kind of went along with that line of thinking. But, like, yeah, as you said, like, you'd expect those two things. Like, one is very somber, one is very sad. And the other is, woo, we got a team. This is fun. And, like, like you saw, like they, like I feel like they literally introduced every single person from the state at, before that thing, because like, and it was like again, like everyone's excited. They've gotten everyone excited about this. You have a governor that has grown up loving the Jazz, loving sports. You have a mayor that wants to say, look at us, we got a hockey team now. Like, you got a county mayor that wants Salt Lake to be better than Utah County. Like it's, and so you have a lot of things that people just want to celebrate on this. Yeah, and it should, they have probably had a little bit of a comment there. Probably, like, I felt bad. I feel like anyone who went to the game on Wednesday had almost like a different mindset. Like I told you guys, like I felt like guilty being there. It's like, hello, I'm still in your team, and now I'm asking random people about Utah when everyone obviously is sad. Like, yeah. And so, like, it's a weird situation. I really, really, really hope that it ends up with both markets having a team, because like one thing that I got showed on Wednesday was like, yeah, this fan base deserves this so much. Now, do I think the Utah fan base is going to show out and be amazing? I do. They've just always have. And they are so proud of having anything to call their own. But that doesn't mean, like, relocation sucks for that reason. It just shouldn't, like, a city is losing a team. A fan base is losing a team. A state is losing a team. And so I think this one's a little unique, where there's, like, an actual possibility set out that like a team can come back. Like, it's in theory still act, it's just an inactive franchise, whatever they want to call it these days. But I if I was a Coyotes fan, I also probably would have been looking for that and just being like, man, give us a little bit of a shout out. This is a terrible day for us.
Yeah.
Well, Ryan, we can't thank you enough for your time helping us paint a picture of the Salt Lake City market, of Utah as a state as a whole, and more about Ryan Smith. And I'm sure we'll stay in touch with you. And if you need anything from us about knowing anything about the personnel involved, we got you covered. So thank you again.
I appreciate that, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you, Ryan. Awesome. Well, thank you again to Ryan Miller, Utah Jazz beat writer and reporter at KSL.com, for joining us, talking more about Utah's market. We'll give our takeaways in a second. There's a few more things that we want to talk about today. But first things first, we are just one day away from our One Pack event, a celebration of the Coyotes community. That'll be Wednesday night, April 24th at the Four Peaks 8th Street Pub. Tickets are $5 and all proceeds go to the Arizona Kachinas. You can also donate online if you're out of state or just want to make a donation. There's a button on the link to donate as well. I will put the link in our chat here momentarily, but it's just going to be it'll be a nice celebration. We'll tell stories, we'll talk, we'll drink some beers together, we'll look at pictures, we'll look at videos, and kind of just celebrate the great run of the Coyotes community, because it's about the
great one of the Coyotes community.
Yes. Not necessarily the team, but you know, the community that's been built here over the course of 28 years. So we want to see everybody there. And once again, I will drop the link in our chat so you can RSVP. But first of all,
hey gang.
Oh
yeah, you got something done.
Max
now?
Just showed me how many tickets we sold.
Okay.
I think we can do better. It's really exciting. I think let's get it up to 200.
All right.
We're close. We are very close.
Wow.
So let's get it up to 200.
Absolutely. I'm putting the link in the chat right now. Everybody, RSVP, we want to see you there. And somebody asked earlier about watching the Roadrunners. We'll definitely get the Roadrunners game. We'll do our best to get the Roadrunners games up on the TVs as well, because we want to be supporting them as well. So, and I know some people can't make it because it is the first game, but we can all bet on the game while we're at Four Peaks. I know Shane bet on the Roadrunners when we were down in Tucson this weekend, and it made it so much more fun. You can bet on the AHL, but you can also bet on the NHL, and the NHL playoffs have been great so far. Great time to bet. You can get your futures bets in, you can bet on individual games, you can bet on player props, etc. Just make sure when you're doing that, you're doing it over at BetMGM, because not only do they have the best odds, they have the most fun things to bet on. You will be shocked if you just click on one game how many different things you can bet on. So explore BetMGM and all it has to offer. Sign up for BetMGM. Use the bonus code PHNX. Place your first BetMGM Sportsbook wager through the BetMGM Sportsbook mobile app for at least $10, and you'll receive up to $1,500 in bonus bets if the bet loses. Check out the show notes for full details. And now listen to Shane talk about the disclaimer.
Bonus bets expire in 7 days. One new customer offer only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY 467-369 New York. Call 1-800-327-5050 Massachusetts. 21 plus only. Please gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP Arizona. 1-800-BETS-OFF-IOWA. 1-800-981-0023 Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Bonus bets are non-withdrawable. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in New York, Nevada, North Carolina, Ontario, or Puerto Rico.
And then join us for a Four Peaks beer, the official beer of PHNX. And if you can't be there at Four Peaks 8th Street Pub tomorrow, stop by any of your local places where you get your beer and grab some Four Peaks and celebrate at home as you watch the Tucson Roadrunners and pretend you're celebrating with us, because that's how I party. I pretend I'm partying with other people. it's true. I get my kilt lifter and I'm all good. So make sure you stop by and get your beer. They've got to follow them at Four Peaks Brewing at Four Peaks Pub to get all of the latest in Arizona Premier Craft Brewery. They've got a new beer called Bad Birdie Juicy Golden Ale, collaboration between Four Peaks and Bad Birdie. It's super drinkable and perfect companion at the tea box or in your fridge. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just getting started. You guys have warmed up for an hour. Visit fourpeaks.com/locator to find all of your favorite beers and events. Check out at Four Peaks Brew or at Four Peaks Pub to keep up with the latest at Arizona's hometown brewery. You must be 21 years old or older to drink Four Peaks. Please enjoy responsibly.
Hello, Petey.
You know, I thought I wasn't sure I was listening to the right show because I listened and they said arena problems, obstructed view seats. We might not actually build a new arena. We might just refurbish this one. We're not really sure where we're going with the arena. And I said, wait, I must have the wrong show because I figured all this shit out. They're moving. And then I said, oh, it's the same but different.
Yeah, that's the biggest takeaway, right? Oh, so they might actually not get a new arena. They might play in 32-year-old Delta Center, which is a basketball facility. And as Ryan Miller said, kind of a trash NHL arena.
Plus, has he aged a lot since he played in the Olympics and with the Buffalo Sabres, too. I was shocked to see how much he has changed.
Looks so different. Yeah.
I don't know. What was your takeaway from that? Because that's like, okay, wow. So they're going into what will automatically become the third oldest arena in the NHL, and they might stay there.
And third oldest, and now definitely the fewest seats now that Mullet has gone, it is the fewest non-obstructed seats in the NHL, period. And so it's interesting to me that everybody had painted this is the savior for the NHL moving to Salt Lake City, and then we talked about the marketplace, and okay, wait, it's going to be the smallest one in the U.S. aside from Buffalo, who still attracts market from Toronto. Really? Okay, so that's a checkbox. Well, they got all kinds of kids playing hockey then, for sure. They must. It's a huge hockey game. Well, no one really plays. We got a few rinks, but it's not really a thing. So I'm curious. The one thing that struck home for me, and probably the only thing that I think the box that they check, and I think they check it with a big black Sharpie, is their owner is going to take care of the players.
Yeah.
And other than that, I think it's going to be a learning curve. And I know you talk about the team and the players and the staff are flying out there tomorrow. And unfortunately, it will not be at the 8th Street, Four Peaks 8th Street Pub, because they'll be in Salt Lake City. But they're going to look at what they're walking into. And it's
a challenge.
I heard,
I don't know if you heard 32 Thoughts and Ryan Miller sort of talking about risers, not just low, but
Ryan
up.
Smith. Huh? Ryan Smith.
Sorry.
We a just lot of Ryans.
Ryan Too many Ryans. Ryan Smith talking about, you know, not only using the risers down low, but up high as well. Didn't really, and I understand he can't divulge yet because they're still figuring it out, but it sounds like a major project. And when you're in the Delta Center, and I have been there, I covered the NBA. It is a basketball facility. It's very steep. You're close to the floor. And that was the intent when they built it. So to transform that into an NHL arena is going to be a major challenge. Aside from that, again, the age of it, I know they did an extensive renovation. And there's something to be said for continually working off the old footprint rather than always building something new and shiny. I get that. And I like that the possibility that they're going to stay in the core. But this is far from an ideal situation. I want to say that. The other thing that I will say in support in my limited time, I covered the NBA. I covered the Pac-12. Utah fans are great. They are. They're great. They turn out. Like I covered Jazz games and every one of those was packed and raucous. I went to Rice-Eccles Stadium to cover the University of Utah when ASU played up there. That stadium was packed and raucous. They are great fans. So that side of it, I think they will have. I'm curious. You asked about the corporate base and the ability to support, because as we know, like the Canadian cities are saying, well, we got the fans too. We'll turn out. That's not all there is to revenue streams. You need a lot of other things as well to work well. From a TV market standpoint, Salt Lake's not getting people excited.
No, but Craig, the other thing I want to make clear here too, and it's I'm by no means bashing the Delta Center, because someone in the chat, Region Rev, said, well, is the answer mullet? No, the mullet's not an answer. And this is going to be a clear upgrade. And not only from the seating, and they can allow more people into the stadium. And I do agree with Craig. I think the fan base is absolutely going to turn out and support this team. But I think what Ryan Miller said is, when we talked about when you go to the back room and you go to the locker room and you go to those facilities, we've talked about the annex, but we never got a tour of the annex. Why?
Because it never got finished. They're embarrassed by it. Yeah.
They're embarrassed by it. And it never had flooring. They didn't have window coverings on it. Like, it never had the accoutrements. It was literally cement. Like, it was never completed. And they were in it for 2 years and didn't get it completed. So for what the players had to put up with in mullet, in the annex, and people say, oh, it's NHL standard. Bullshit. It wasn't. It was nowhere near. Glendale Arena was good. It wasn't the best in the NHL, but it was good. It had all the facilities they needed. They had all of the training facilities. They had a world class. The weight room at the Mullet Annex, liken it to your hotel gym when you're staying on the road. It was like that, but smaller. And you go to the gym at Gila River Arena. It was huge. It was a massive facility. And so I think the biggest thing that the players are going to see is what is behind the curtain. I think the locker room facilities, there is no doubt in my mind that the locker room facilities are going to be first rate, first class, and whatever they want and or need, they will have behind the scenes. But when they step onto the ice, it is going to be more like what you saw at America West Arena. And to be honest, I haven't been there and see how new it is, but Mullet's the ice facility portion of Mullet, it's new. It's brand new. It's great. So I don't know if they're going to have that on day one, game one, because they don't have time. They don't have time to get this done. So I think their locker rooms is going to be the most noticeable for the players. The players are going to love it. The players already are feeling the support and the love from this community. They're going to a meet and greet tomorrow. They're jumping on a plane first thing Wednesday. They're going to meet fans. They're going to meet people. They have signing events. It's a big deal.
Yeah, and that's to further that, it just feels like Ryan Smith is going to do everything that he can possibly do. I mean, I don't doubt that they're going to have a great training facility. They're going to have, like you said, the team spaces will all be good. But there's only so much you can do with this existing bowl because of the way it was built. It was built for basketball, so that's going to be a challenge.
And I do think when Ryan Smith set out to do this and when he put out that letter of, you know, I want a team, I don't think he expected any of this, because I think that if he had had the time, all those things would have been ready before.
He wanted an expansion franchise.
Yeah, he did.
And I expected it. I really believe that was the plan.
They're going to be building the plane while it's in flight. So that's just going to be the situation.
Can you imagine, Leah? That we talked about this already, but Seattle had a year and a half runway to build this thing. And they were, trust me, because I have actually interviewed for jobs there. They were putting on nuts and bolts and hammers and nails up to 2 days before this season started. And Craig knows Ricky Olczyk extremely well. Like, a year and a half runway seems like a long time. There's a lot to do. This team does not have that much time. So when we talked about the remodeling of this facility, it really they don't have NHL locker rooms right now. They need two of them. And you look at what they did at the Mullet with that annex. That took years to build. They have months. So this is going to be quite the undertaking. I know there's a lot of equipment managers and medical guys on this staff going, oh boy, we could potentially be in one here. So there's going to be a lot of work between now and opening night. And again, that is not a slight on anybody. I think Salt Lake is going to be – I think they're going to turn out and show up. And I know the players are going to like this community. I think they're going to be welcomed with open arms. I imagine there's going to be some house hunting in the next 48 hours with all the guys in town. I know I talked to a few staff members that are trying to pick out where they're going to – they're thinking more apartment and condos. Sorry. So if the real estate agents are looking for the staff members, I think they're looking a little smaller to get started. But I know that there's going to be a lot of players that are going to like this community ultimately, for sure.
Yeah. I just can't believe how fast this is all happening.
Isn't it insane?
And by the way, I don't know if you guys caught Ryan Smith on McAfee yesterday kind of throwing shade at the Coyotes mascot vote and with the AI bots. Did you see that?
I didn't see that, actually.
Because he said that, he said it on 32 Thoughts as well, that they're going to create a bracket for fans
to
vote on the team name, which I think is great. And I think it's nice that the fans get to be a part of choosing something that's going to be there forever. But he had said, he had made a comment like, oh, we'll make sure that the like AI bots aren't involved in the voting. I interpreted it because if you miss Greg Wyshynski's polling for the best mascots in the NHL and Howard made it to the final, lost in the final, but made it, and all the Coyote staff were tweeting it and the account was pushing it. That's how I interpreted it, at least. That's how I saw on Twitter. But anywho,
I just don't know how Gritty didn't make the final. It's just,
It was clearly rigged. It was clearly rigged.
Yes. Clearly rigged. It was him. Yeah, and it's funny, the comments in the
I'm just gonna put it out there. Wyshynski is a Devils fan, so just throwing that out there. Make of that what you will.
Some East Coast bias, Craig?
I don't know. Maybe hates the Flyers. I don't know.
The chat is really going up, and I think there are a lot of people from Salt Lake City or the new fan base that are coming into this and maybe surprised at our demeanor on this. Yeah, we're sad. We're heartbroken. I mean, this is a big deal to the hockey fans in the state of Arizona. But trust me, there is absolutely no ill will to the hockey fans in Salt Lake City. As a matter of fact, probably the opposite. We really want the Salt Lake fan base to embrace these players as we have in our community for the last several years, and we want you to take the mantle over and taking care of them. And
they deserve it.
Yeah,
they deserve it. They've dealt with a lot. They have dealt with a lot.
It's not their fault. We don't want you to embrace our owner, but we'll deal with him on our own. That's our problem.
And speaking of which, for any Salt Lake fans or Utah fans in the chat right now, tune in tomorrow at 11 a.m. Pacific time, because we're going to do a full primer, everything you need to know about the team that is coming your way. Oof. Key players, just history.
You're setting high expectations there. Woo. Everything you need to know.
I mean, everything we...
I'm terrified,
how about
Petey?
This?
Might come up sick tomorrow.
How about this? Everything we think you need to know.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, that's better. I mentioned there's some young guns, some history. I bet you Shane Doan's name might come up, I would guess.
Might. It might.
Because we want you to embrace the players that we've invested years and years into covering and talking about and following. So
yeah,
we want...
There's a lot to be excited about. Yeah. I will say that. There is a lot to be excited about.
We want you to know the personalities and the players that you're getting too, and not just the hockey side of it too. It's just, there are some amazing people on this hockey team. And one of the things that we heard consistently from the coaching staff, the players, is how tight this group of players are together. And this is a really tight-knit group. It's a family inside that locker room. And I think that's going to be part of the success as this team moves forward, that they're able to keep that core group of people together that really hang out together. Honestly, this is probably going to bind them even closer, because now they're moving into a new community where they're going to have to lean on each other even more so than they were here. So I really think that that's going to help them. We'll talk about their playoff hopes and chances. We're going to get into it. And I think we'll try to do it with a little bit of perspective, I hope.
Yeah, absolutely. But speaking of the youth on this team, we've been talking a lot about the Tucson Roadrunners because their playoff journey begins tomorrow night at home against Calgary. And we've been promising that we're going to have a link for discounted tickets and a discounted way to watch the Roadrunners in the playoffs. And I'm going to tell everybody how to do that right now. So for listeners and watchers of PHNX, you're going to go to TucsonRoadrunners.com/PHNX. I'll put it in the chat, and it's going to take you to a landing page on their website where there's a link, $29.99 for all the AHL playoff games.
That's on TV. A bargain.
Yep, on TV.
Yeah, that's a bargain.
Or $8.99 daily pass, so it gets you all the games of that day. These are special discounted prices for PHNX listeners. There's also a link on that for exclusive discounted ticket offers for the playoffs as well, exclusive to PHNX listeners. So thank you so much to Adrian Denny, yeah, Bob Hoffman, and the Tucson Roadrunners for being, I mean, so considerate to this fan base and to the listeners and watchers of PHNX. We can't thank them enough. But I will, once again, I'm going to drop that link in the chat so you can get your tickets or your viewing packages at a discounted rate, thanks to the Roadrunners.
And to the Utah fans in our chat, you're going to want to watch these games, because this, you're going to see a big part of the future
this
team. And then, like, next year, stay on target with the Tucson Roadrunners, because it's going to be a lot more guys there. But right now, pay attention to Dylan Gunther down there. Pay attention to Josh Doan. Pay attention to Aku Ratu. I like saying that. Mm-hmm. Aku Ratu. Maximilian Zuba. You should keep an eye on him as well. There are a bunch of players that are going to be competing in the postseason that are going to be a big part of this team's future. So they are worth watching.
And then for the Arizona fan base in this state, let's rally. Let's rally and root this team on, because this is the professional team in the state of Arizona right now. And I think they have as good a chance as anybody in the Western Conference at proceeding in these playoffs. So let's root them, root for them, and have some positive hockey vibes going in this community, as this team really deserves someone helping to lift them up. So let's cheer them on. And I'm all on board, and let's make sure we follow, and we'll be giving score updates in the next little bit, and we'll be following this Tucson Roadrunner team.
Absolutely. And if you're going to make the trip down the I-10, make sure you stop to fuel up at Circle K. I stopped at Circle K in Tucson on Sunday morning before heading back to Phoenix. And just because I was in Tucson, as Mike Luke always says, back the K, hashtag back the K, Circle K. So I definitely fueled up. We grabbed some snacks for our road trip over at Circle K. And you always save money when you're a member of the Inner Circle. 3 cents per gallon every time you fill up. That's after you save 25 cents per gallon on your first five fill-ups by joining the Inner Circle, which is completely free to join. All you have to do is download the Circle K app today. Terms and conditions apply at participating locations. Visit CircleK.com for details.
And then if you need any tickets to any event anywhere, go to Game Time. It's PD's official ticket supplier. I go to Game Time for all my ticket needs, whether it's sports, whether it's theaters, whether it's concerts. I go to Game Time first, always, because I know Game Time has the guaranteed lowest prices. And if they don't, guess what? They're going to pay you back. They're going to give you 110% of the difference between your price and the lowest price. So use Game Time. Game Time is now the authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on Game Time actually go down the closer you get to first pitch. With killer last minute deals, all in pricing, views from your seat, and the lowest price guaranteed, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets. It says the same thing in the next thing, Leo. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets. I just said that. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code PHNX for $20 off your first purchase. Terms and apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PHNX for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. See, and that's one of the things that you won't get with Leah's reads. I read, because I'm old, and sometimes I don't write my own stuff. Sometimes I do, and by the way, Salt Lake City fans may not approve of some of the things I write myself. Just saying. But this particular one I didn't read through, so I apologize. It's early for me.
Oh my goodness.
Approaching all midnight.
One other thing I want to mention just before we wrap up, Craig tweeted this before we went live. The great question that has been debated many times over the last week and a half about who owns the Coyotes' history, Craig, and we finally have an answer from NHL.
A real answer?
Straight from NHL Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly, who said, quote, whoa, "The history belongs to Alex as long as he has the franchise."
Yep.
Well, there you have it, Rich Nair 9. Because sure Rich was debating that. But it was an honest debate. So Alex Morello right now holds all of the records that include Shane Doan, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, and this great history, the playoff history in 2012, is all under the auspices of Alex Morello.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah. I want to throw one other thing out. Right when we went live, Arizona State released its schedule for the
great
upcoming
release
hockey
video,
season.
By the
yeah,
way.
It's spectacular. But, you know, speaking of hockey options still in the Valley, Sun Devil Hockey will be at Mullett Arena, and they will be joining the best conference in college hockey next year, the NCHC. Really, really excited and interested. That's a fantastic story to follow next season as the Sun Devils really take the final step in their evolution as a Division I program. They had to get an arena. They had to get into a conference. They had to prove themselves on the stage and prove that they could compete and recruit. They're at this stage now where this could be the launching point for this program.
Yeah, and you talk about, Craig, you talk about wanting a hot hockey ticket. I mean, you're talking about the Duluth Bulldogs, the North Dakota Fighting Hawks. I mean, these are the best teams in the NCAA.
University of Denver, defending national champions.
Yeah, they have more national championships in that conference than any other conference. I'm sorry.
Six of the last eight national champions, I think,
have come out of there. Yeah, it's insane. Denver now has 10, which sets the record in all of the NCAA. There's going to be some great hockey here. And, you know, we're pandering to buy tickets to this stuff. Because if you think the mullet was good with the Coyotes in it, go watch it when it's a bunch of college kids that have had maybe a few too many drinks in the student section on the bleachers.
Only the ones of drinking age, of course, Petey. Only the ones of drinking age, yes.
Oh, 21 and older, please drink responsibly. But it's going to be a lot of fun. And we're going to, hey, by the way, I have a feeling we'll probably keep up with Greg Powers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, a couple super chats before we wrap up. The Politicat said, can't wait to see y'all tomorrow and support the Kachinas. Really looking forward to it. Kat, and excited to meet you finally. Feels like I know you, but through Twitter. And then Mike said, are we going to the runners again for the playoffs? Well, we've put the link in the chat if you want to go at the discounted ticket rate. I highly recommend everybody go. And Mike, I did bring the wine today. So
did you really?
So I did remember to bring the wine. Don't worry.
We were starting to get, Craig and I had a little sidebar on that. We were getting a little skeptical that that would be.
Mike, I didn't. Did you really buy Thunderbird? Is that what you were meaning to give to us? Because that's what I saw on Leah's bag.
It was a box of wine on her desk.
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Box of
the
wine.
Barefoot Moscato. Yeah. That's what he gave us.
Sure.
And Mike, no, I have not tried the wine yet. I will try it this weekend, I promise. Thank you so much.
That's
again,
the truth.
He said, how is the wine? And that is my answer. And then Simon said, tomorrow should be a good time. My wife mentioned, y'all may need help setting up. Is that still the case? If so, what time? I don't know if that message was meant for us, Simon, but appreciate it. And if you are in Salt Lake, definitely go out and greet the players. Greet the team.
Can I bring up another message?
Yeah.
Brian Brown. Denver holds the record for Division I, but you know who holds the division for the most national championships? Bemidji.
Yeah, I figured.
Who is the coach of a lot of those teams? Not all of them.
Bob Peters.
My dad.
That's right.
Yay, Bob. Beaver Bob Peters. Hey, thank you for bringing that up in the chat. Little Beaver love. I love
there
that.
You go.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much to everybody for tuning in, for listening, for watching. Be sure to hit the like button on this video. There's way more people watching than we have likes. So all the likes help support us. And be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a 5-star review there as well. We will be live again tomorrow, 11 a.m. for a primer for Salt Lake City fans. Probably the last time we get in the weeds talking about the players on this team as we come to a close here on the PHNX Coyotes era of the podcast. But we sincerely appreciate everybody's support, all the new listeners, all the new viewers for watching. And we thank you to all of our diehards for supporting through us.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing you again tomorrow.
Yeah, really looking forward to tomorrow night. So we hope to see as many of you there as possible. In the meantime, you can follow all of us on Twitter at Leah Merrill, at Craig S. Morgan, at S. Peters Hockey, at Abraca Danielle. Follow the show on Twitter at PHNX_Coyotes. Thank you again to Ryan Miller for joining us today. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, everybody, and we will see you all tomorrow.